Next on the agenda is financial report. So I would now like to invite Vijit Ghosh, Vice President, to give our, give us our, his presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning. I'd like to present today to you the preliminary results of the fiscal year 2018. Before I start, I should state that this is preliminary results. They are not audited yet. So the numbers are not final until the audit is completed. I think I can very quickly run to the bottom line, which is that after a few years of uncertainty, budgetary, financial challenges, we came out last year in a good, stable place. Okay. So we had robust financial results for fiscal year 2018. With an increase in our net position of $638 million, which compares, for example, in FY17, which was only $52 million, and $276 million decline in net position in 2016 when we were under great challenges with the state's budget uncertainty. And these net positions allow us to do some of the things that we like to do, invest in our future, especially with capital programs and buildings and facilities. These are the resources that makes it available for us. Okay. If we want to look at a little bit more detail, we almost had close to about a $7 billion of funding our operations last year. Okay. And our operating expenses was about $6 billion. Which left us with about $902 million. Some of you are more used to seeing a line called EBITDA in financial accounts. So the third row is very similar to EBITDA, which is the income before the interest, depreciation, and other revenues. That was about $902 million. Another way of expressing it is that $902 million correspond to about 13% return on the revenue. Okay. Depreciation of $255 million was leaves us with that change in the net position of $638 million, as we talked about. What does it mean? How does it compare? And what led us to this position? I'd like to say that there are two major reasons which drove our financial results last year in FY18. One is our focus on how we control our expenses. As you can see, we had some robust revenue expense increases last year because we had not gotten state appropriation the year before, so we received the state appropriation, so there was an increase in our state appropriation, so our revenues increase. And we also, FY18 was a little special in the fact that we got some retroactive funding. Some of the funds which were appropriated in FY18 were for FY17, but the appropriation took place after the 1st of July, so it got counted in FY18. So we benefited from that one-time funding, which we can't rely on going forward. Okay? But if you see the left-hand side versus the right-hand side, whichever way you measure, whether with the extra funding or not, we had a very robust revenue increase. But we were able to control our operating expenses to our target that we had, about 2-3% increase in operating expenses in line with inflation. Inflation last year was 2.9%. Our increases in our expenses without the payments on behalf was 2.2, and with payments on behalf was 3.2. So being able to control that is what leads to then resources to do strategic kinds of investments, because these are operating expenses. If we control that, then you can invest in other long-term investments. Okay. Second issue is that we did have one-time funds last time. So if you look at the $632 million we had, we received $300 million of appropriation last year, which was really meant for FY17. So that's a one-time funding for that year. Similarly, we received $64 million of MAP funding, which was for FY17.
So on a going ahead basis, our net position without those retroactive funds was like $274 million, okay? Which is, again, still significantly better than our results the last couple of years, okay? So if you want to look at what's the five-year trend here, you can see FY 15, 16, 17, well, financially, our results were not that strong, but in FY 18, even with accounting for the retroactive funds, we had a good financial result. And I want to thank everybody for all their hard work in producing these results. Okay. We had one other special item in FY 18, which the board was apprised before that due to a new ruling from GASB about how pension benefits other than pension are accounted for, we had to make a special designation, okay? This is called GASB Rule 75 or OPEB, where it basically says that universities now have to account in their books for the liabilities for retiree health benefits for those employees for whom we do pay our benefits, which is mostly employees on grants and other non-state funds that we have to account in our books. Okay. And that accounted to about $1.6 billion, which reduced our net position correspondingly. Okay. Now, I should note that this does not mean any change in the way we pay for benefits. It's just how we are going to account for the liability. It does not change the way we make payments. So if you look at the individual units, this is the net position for each individual unit. So all our units had robust financial results. And the system unit at the bottom of $81 million, that corresponds to not only the system offices, but system-wide funds that are managed by the system office. I think the key to all our financial results is the fact that we have a very diverse sources of revenue, okay? If you look at this pie chart, we have very diverse sources of revenue. No one single source accounts for more than 25% of our revenue. And this is what gives us strength, and this is what helped us during the state's fiscal crisis, because we're not dependent just on one single source of revenue, okay? If you look at what the key revenue changes, we all know state appropriation was, after the paucity of state appropriation in FY 16 and FY 17, we got state appropriation. Payments on behalf also increased, but doesn't really affect our bottom line that much. Tuition increased 2.1%. Patient care revenues increased by 3.1%. Gifts increased. Now, sponsored program, I should note that when you see the sponsored program here, it doesn't mean how many grants we got that year. It means how much we were reimbursed that year for grants. So it depends, sometimes it fluctuates because the speed at which expenses are reimbursed might not match, okay? And I can assure you that we have been looking into this, and the grant revenues in the first quarter of this year is running much faster than what it did last year. So sometimes just timing of expenses creates those fluctuations. Okay. One of the major revenue sources, tuition, we know, is crossed $1 billion a couple of years ago. And this year, patient care revenues crossed $1 billion. And then sponsored programs and other activities. These are all the revenues, major revenue sources in which the university depends on. One of the things to look at is the revenue trends. What are the trends over a five-year period? And you can see very steady increases in tuition every year. Although we have not increased the tuition rate for in-state students through enrollment and other factors, tuition has slowly increased 15% over a five-year period. sponsored programs we talked about. I should also note that 2014, 2013, 2014 were some of the high water marks for sponsored program, because at that time we sort of finished off number of the so-called era or stimulus grants. Those were getting finished off, and it was also the ending period of the Petascale project. So those were very high water marks right there. You can see the appropriation, you know the fluctuations. Private gifts, you can see the impact of the campaign the last 2 years with the growing private gift accounts. How's the revenue distributed across our units? You can see with the hospital and the UIC campus together, Chicago accounts for about 49%, almost half of our total revenues. And then Urbana 47%, and the system and the Springfield 2% each. If you look at the tuition, you have seen this in our budget numbers. The Urbana accounts for about 65% of both tuitions and sponsored programs, 66 and 64, with Chicago about 35%. Okay. Now, if we come to the expense side, our total expenses with depreciation was about $6.3 billion, including payments on behalf, and about $4.6 billion without payments on behalf. And as I said, the important point is that we were able to control our expenses adequately. Compensation and benefits is about a little over half of our total expenses, and you have seen this reflected when we make our budget request too. That's a little bit of how. Student aid has grown over time, and that's an item we like to see grow, because that supports our students and our enrollment. And again, if you look at what's been happening with the expense on a five-year cycle, I think the important point I want to point out is, first of all, compensation and benefits have been increasing, but it's an increase over the past 5 years on a 2.1% rate, so it's a very controlled increase. Student aid is the only one which has increased to about 2.5% annually. And then total expenses have only increased 1.6% on an annual basis, 7% over the last 5 years. So we have done a very good job of controlling our expenses, which has been one of our goals especially during the periods of financial challenge. That's been one of the goals, and we have been able to achieve that, and that has been a result. Finally, our major sort of expense categories. Instruction is, of course, our major expense category, about $900 million, okay? And then the hospital and the research follows that. These are the expense where we have more than $200 million of expenses, different categories. This is the way what's sometimes called the Nakubo classification, classified by the function, not just by compensation and depreciation. Okay. So I want to end by really thanking all my colleagues across the university for their very prudent management of our resources, and this sort of helps us come back now into a position which I hope will be a stable financial position for the next few years, which would allow us to do all the strategic initiatives that we are launching. You heard President Colleen talk about it, and others have talked about it. We have a lot of ambition. We have a lot of aspiration. This stable financial condition will allow us to invest in those aspirations. So I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Questions from the board. I have one, Avijit. If you go to your last slide, expenses for major functions, public service 407.6, would that be like extension or what?
Extension will be one of the things that's included in there. A lot of other similar kinds of factors are included in there. Okay.
Okay. Thank you. Other comments? All right. Thank you very much, Avijit.
I'm
sorry,
Mr.
Don.
Mr. Chairman, I have a question.
Yeah, please. Sorry.
Just to make sure that the I'm clear and the trustees are clear on the way the we had a major increase in our net position this year. In a business world, income related to 2017 would be allocated back to those financial statements, but in our world, since it wasn't appropriated, we book it this year, and that makes it seem like we had a $900 million increase, but that's why you say without that amount, it's 600, and that would be our sort of appropriate run rate.
No, sorry. The appropriate run rate will be less than that.
Okay.
I think here. So we had a net position improvement of $632 million, of which one time was $364.
Okay. So the $900 million was before depreciation.
Before depreciation.
$600 million approximately after depreciation,
yeah.
Of which almost half was
one time.
Funding that was this that was to cover a loss that the legislature didn't provide us the prior year.
Exactly.
So our run rate increase in net position we can think of as about $300 million.
274, yeah.
Okay, 274. Now, just again, for make sure I understand the way we talk about these and the trustees do, our depreciation is in that number. So we sort of have $255 million of a non-cash charge in that number, but at the same time, we don't put, there's no expense other than maintenance for capital spending in this presentation, correct?
Capital spending that's done with that year's budget would be in it. Pure capital spending goes out, but there is
maintenance and other things, yeah, that are annual capital spending on existing facilities. But I'm talking about new projects are not
new projects
in that expense.
Are not.
So unlike a business that can raise capital, you know, we can go out and do bonding. Obviously, we're approaching our limit to some extent on that. But what I just want to point out is it's that we have no other source unless the state allocates us capital, which hasn't happened in 10 years until DPI or this new thing, that increase in net position is what we need
exactly
to fund our capital. And so it's not sort of like, oh, great news, we make $300 million and now we just have an extra $300 million sitting around. We desperately need that money to fund our capital because we don't have a capital allocation from the state, and we're not a company, and we can't raise equity. So, you know, I just want to make everyone, it was a revelation to me that we have to fund our capital spending out of our operations, which is why we do need an increase in net position.
Yeah.
And it does, I just don't want the public to think, oh, look, they're making all this money.
Yeah.
That is not the case.
Absolutely, but just to remind you, we are going for capital funding this year. You're going to approve that today.
I understand the request, yeah. But I just want to make sure that the trustees and the public don't think, oh, we're making $300 or $600 million. That's the money that we then have to allocate to capital, and we have $2 billion in deferred maintenance, or I don't know, what's our...
No, I think you're right.
I just want to make sure everyone doesn't think that from this presentation we're making money after our capital needs. We're actually in need of money, not making money.
You're absolutely correct, sir. And we have a capital budget of about $400 million a year.
Right.
So this does not get to that.
Right. We need to make $400 million just to pay for our capital budget.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Other questions?
I just add an amen to the positioning that Don's made, but also Avijit, thanks for making clear the financial issues and partitioning of it. It's very helpful, and while some people can get a misconception from it, I think it's very helpful for everybody to understand how we operate. And my compliments to you on making that clear.
Thank you,
Sandy. Do you have a comment?
Yeah, thanks so much. I agree. So getting to the point on the capital expenditures, I think on slide four, you show that, you know, the add back for depreciation to try to analogize to EBITDA, which is great. But I think, you know, a bit to Don's point, it'd be also helpful when we're seeing these kind of summary presentations to get a line item somewhere that shows capital outlays. So yeah, we can see that the effect on our net cash position is, well, we get credit for the charge we took for depreciation. We likewise, you've got to look at the other side for the money you spent on CapEx where it wasn't in the income statement as an expense.
Right.
Thank you. We actually, our January presentation will be focusing on all on capital expenditures. Okay, but we can add that line there. Yeah. Okay. Any other questions?
Thank you, Avijit.